So back to my friend who posted themselves on Instagram. Do you guys have that? Can you put that picture up of the post? This hottie that posted, and everybody needed to respond. I'm gonna come back there. I'm gonna find it for you.
Well, nothing's in order. So.
Oh no! How did it get out of order?
You didn't put it in order.
No, I did. I did. That's it right there. Look at that hottie. So if you don't know, that's AJ. That's AJ right there. Give AJ an applause, right? So let's see what people said to AJ. OMG, so gorgeous. Woo, AJ, look at you, bro. Bae, you're slaying. Oh, goodness. Hot goals. Wish I had your face. Oh, my goodness, AJ. No, AJ didn't really post that, right? But, you know, like, sometimes people do that. They post that, and then people are like, oh, let me, like, encourage you. It's that whole deal. But then the sad part is, a lot of times, can you put up that next one if you can, if it's there? If not, whatever, we'll just keep moving. Oh, there we go. Then you all of a sudden have this, like, little thing happen. Almost every single time. Where people will go up and be like, dude, did you see that picture AJ posted? Like, what a show off. Just trying to get attention. And then this little, like, gossip thing happens. Right, I know, because like I hear about it all the time from y'all. People come tell me, like, so-and-so said this about me behind my back, and it's like, I just posted a picture. It's one of those, right? And at first, when you post it, it sounds like you have all these friends that love you so much, and they're saying all this good stuff. Their words are, like, encouraging you, and they're like, man, my friend. And then, behind your back, you find out they're saying something totally different. And it hurts, doesn't it? Like, doesn't that stink? To find out how people really feel or that they would go behind your back and say stuff like that, right? I know stuff like this happens all the time because people come all the time like all depressed and broken and sad and like, I can't believe my friends did that because we do it and you can go online and see people do it all the time. Some of you might have done this. And so tonight what we're talking about is that obviously next week is Valentine's Day, right? But we're not doing like the cheesy Valentine's Day service. It made me think about the Lord's love. Just made me think about God's love and how many versions of love we try to like grab onto. Because a lot of times we can be sad, we can be lonely, we can feel like, man, I just need some attention. And so we can look for that love like by posting, especially in social media. So it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Like when people say nice things about something you post. And it's like, man, we look for love in so many places and it's just wrong because so often those people's words don't match up with what's in their heart and their actions. It's just words. It's just these things we say to each other. And when I think about what God has done, it's not just words. I love that God doesn't just love us with words, that he does so much more than words. When he speaks, he keeps his promises. When he says something, he acts, he does it. And when he tells you that he loves you more than anything, he sends his only son to die for you. Like he puts his money where his mouth is. He actually follows through on all this love that he talks about having. It's kind of sad because I found this video. If you guys, do you have another one? Should I even say that? I don't know, I have it tonight, guys. Welcome back, Rob. I messed everything up tonight, apparently. I'm sorry. It's been 4 weeks. I'm rusty. If you guys can show that last video, that'd be awesome. Sometimes this is what we see. Y'all, that happens way too much. I wish it were just some cheesy video I was showing and it like wasn't reality, you know? I wish that wasn't true. But it is. It happens all the time. And it's sad to think that some of us do it. Like, we're those people. And others have had your heart crushed by something like that, by people that you call friends that you thought loved you, but they didn't follow through with their words. It was just words. And I want you to know tonight that you are loved, and it's not just words. There's action behind these words. I want to read you Romans 5:8. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We serve a God who is a God of action. He does more than just speak. He doesn't just say, he does. And he does more than just talk about loving you. He actually shows his love by sacrificing, by stepping out and saying, you're worth even the life of my son who will die for you. You're loved by that God. Some of you guys come tonight and you might not even understand that like someone could love you that much. Maybe you've never felt that type of love before. Maybe your home life, you don't get a lot of that type of attention or affection or love, or you have a group of friends that are just toxic and you've been stuck in that toxic group of friends just dealing with that life and it's just constant heartache and you keep putting up with it. You might find yourself in a situation tonight where it's hard to believe that someone could love you with more than just words, but they really do. God loves you that much. You don't have to put up with that toxic group of friends. You don't have to depend on a family that might not come around you and love you the way a family should, because you have a Father in heaven that loves you more than any human being will ever be able to. A Father who says, I don't just talk, I do. And I'm going to show you my love through my actions. So I want to see how he does that tonight. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 2 tonight. We're just going to look at verses 1 to 10. And I want us to see how God practices what he preaches. He really means his words. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, in whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Stop there for a second. God encounters us in this situation where we're literally his enemies. We're just going after the things that we know to go after. We don't have another choice. We're stuck in our brokenness and our sin. And so we're trying to make our bodies happy and trying to get pleasure and trying to be satisfied by the things around us because that's all we know. It's all we can see. And so as God approaches us, he finds us in this state of brokenness. And listen, that video is such a great illustration of just people just stuck in their brokenness. Make myself feel better by tearing other people down. Make myself feel better by trying to get attention. Make myself feel better. It's what we're going after. And we don't have another way to fill that gap that's inside our hearts. So we look for the things around us. And it says here that we're trapped in that. Like, we're just stuck in our sin and we're stuck in our brokenness. And as God looks at us, do you think there's a whole lot that'd be like attractive to him that he would actually want to like do this for us? It's a bunch of broken, snobby, snotty people who are consumed with themselves, who are mean to each other, who lie and steal and murder and do horrible things. Why would God look at us and go, oh yeah, I want to die for them? He has no reason to want to do that. Nothing good about humanity in the broken state. We're just broken. But for some reason, God finds us just like that. And look what it says next. Two really, really awesome words. But God. You see this like really bad story going on. The worst story you could ever hear. It's our lives. And then all of a sudden, it's broken in half by those two words. But God, it stops the timeline. It stops all this horrible negative stuff. And God intervenes and he steps into the story. And he says, look, I know you're broken and you're a mess, but I'm looking at you. You can't fix this. You're not strong enough. You can't just all of a sudden change your behavior and be like, I'm good now. Look at me. God's going to love me for the way I'm acting. We're incapable of fixing it. But God, He's the only one who can. And luckily, He's the one who does. But God, or those two words tell me that He changes everything. He's the only one who can, and He steps in. It's such a beautiful phrase because it makes all the difference. Everything changes when God decides He's going to step into the story. He intercedes to help you and me, right? So we don't have to stay this way forever. He could have been like, forget it, I'm out. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Rob Jones is a filthy mess. I don't want to even be around him. I can tell you from firsthand experience, God could say that about me, and He would be justified in saying it. And if you were honest, you would probably say the same thing about yourself. But God. God decided to look at me and go, I love you just like you are. In your brokenness, the big mess that you are, I love you. It says, but God, being rich in mercy. There are all sorts of things we try to be rich in, right? All those of you, man, I like to be rich, have a big house, a nice car, a big truck with huge tires, drive down the road, run people over. It's going to be great. Oh, yeah, you know? Like, that's what we think of. Imagine being rich in mercy. You're probably like, oh, that's boring. I want the truck. You know, like, God is rich, wealthy. Like, He has more than He could ever use up of mercy, of looking at people with eyes of forgiveness, of holding back punishment that they deserve. God is so kind, it's overflowing out of Him. He has too much of it. Our God is rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us. That's good news when I'm tacked onto that phrase. All that wealth of kindness and mercy and love is getting spilled out on me. That's how much He loves us. He didn't go behind the scenes and be like at church, God's like, hey, you guys are great. I love you. Like, oh, you're looking great today, bae. You know, like, and then behind the back, your back, He's over here at the Methodist church being like, those Baptists, gosh, man, they are terrible. Have you seen them? Like, God doesn't do that. He loves you. He loves you now. He will always love you. He loves you enough to pour out His richness and mercy and love and kindness over you. Man, and He comes through, doesn't just use words. It says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were that mess, stuck in our sin, He looked at us and wasn't like, okay, here's the deal. Let me draw up a business plan. If you do this, then I'll forgive you. My mom was the queen of that. You guys met Linda upstairs, right? Linda, that's my mama. Growing up, woo, she was like, nothing was free in my house. Like, if I wanted something, I had to change some sort of behavior. If you do this, then you get this. If you clean your room, you do this. There was always a business deal going on with mama until there wasn't, and it was just like, do it! You know, and you just knew to do it, right? That's Linda. God doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. He looked at us in the middle of our sin. He wasn't like, hey, Rob, clean it up first, bro. Act better. Behave better. Change this. Stop lying. Do that. God doesn't do that. He just looks and says, Rob, I already know, man. I know all of it, all your flaws. The stuff you hide from your friends, you don't want them to know. It's the last thing you want them to know about you. He knows. He knows it. He looks right down into your heart and sees it. Can't hide it from Him. The stuff you would be so embarrassed about and ashamed if people found out about you, so scared for them to know, God knows. And still loves you. In the middle of that, in the middle of your worst day and your worst sin and the worst thing you could ever do, God still looks at you and goes, I love you, period. That's overflowing riches of mercy. Because if you and I were to find out about what other people did, all of a sudden the stuff we do just wouldn't seem so bad. And we'd be like, oh, I don't want to be around you. You're like, get away. That's not God. That's not God. He loves you. Just how you are in the middle of your dead, in the middle of your trespasses. But then look what it says. He made us alive together with Christ. See, God sees it. He knows I'm a mess, but He doesn't want to leave me that way. He's like, Rob, I love you just like you are, but I love you enough to say, come on, let's do better. Let me make you new. That's why we watched that doll video. It was going to be great, like the way it was all lined up. I tell you, I swear, I promise. Just believe me though, right? We watch that because, like, that's us. Like, that's our story. We're this broken mess. But God can pick us up and make us brand new. He doesn't want to leave us a mess because he loves us. Remember? He actually follows through on what he says. It's us that, like, it's all words when we tell someone we love them and then leave them in their mess. My friend's ruining their life, but I'm just going to leave them alone. It's cool. It's totally cool. What? That's not loving. Like, my friend's headed toward the edge of a cliff about to drive off, but, you know, I don't want to mess with them. I don't want to judge, so just, you know, it's cool. Like, what? Are you an idiot? Like, why would you do that? You love them, right? Warn them. Help them. That's what Jesus does. He sees the mess, but he doesn't want to leave us in the mess, so he picks us up. He says it makes us alive together with him. By grace you have been saved. There's a phrase. We could spend the rest of the, like, century talking about those couple words. It's grace that has saved you, not your works, not trying to impress God or impress your church or make your pastor think you're a certain way. It's just God that looked at you and said, you know what? I'm just doing it. It's that simple. So people spend their whole lives trying to figure out Christianity. Like, what? Let's get to the bottom of this. Like, no, here's the bottom. He just did it. He just chose to. There was no reason. He just loves you. He looked at you and said, you don't have to earn this. I'm doing this for you. It's free. Like, really free. Not one of those. I was on Instagram today, right? And there was this really cool thing. I was like, ooh, they're going to tell me the secret of, like, something, right? I'm not telling you what. It's too personal. So I'm going to, like, I click on it. Sweet. They're like, I'm going to get, I'll tell you. It was barbecue stuff, and they were going to, like, send me free things once a week. I was like, yes, I'm going to cook lots of barbecue. Well, I go through the whole thing. Turns out, in order to get it, I have to buy this little sticker that says, like, some, like, inappropriate barbecue thing that I was never going to put on my truck. And I have to pay $15 for the sticker. I was like, bro, you're not really trying to give me free stuff. You want me to buy a sticker for $15? It was a ripoff. God doesn't do that. Hey, Rob, come to me. Come on. Okay, now you got to do this, this, and this. Now, in order to get this salvation I'm offering you, you got to behave a certain way. You got to look a certain way, dress a certain way, go to a certain church, say hallelujah just loud enough and raise your hands just high enough, and then you'll be good. I'll give you salvation. No, that's not what God does. When he says free, he means free. Just give me your heart. I'm going to take it. I'm going to make it brand new. It's free. Sometimes we accept Jesus and this free gift of salvation, but then a couple years down the road as Christians, all of a sudden we think we have to keep it somehow by behaving a certain way. Wait, did you pay for it in the beginning? So why do you think you're having to pay for it now? There's not, like, monthly charges that start later. It is absolutely free. You know why? Because God keeps his word. It's not just words to him. He loves you that much. That's grace. It should blow your mind and make you go, why? Why would you ever do that, God? Good question. You're going to spend eternity asking him to answer that for you because that's grace. It's mind-blowing. He shouldn't do it. We don't deserve it. And that's why we call it grace. That's how you've been saved, it says. That's grace. It says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, this whole thing was made possible because of Christ. No Jesus, no salvation. Jesus going to a cross to pay a penalty. He shouldn't have. The same way we should have absolutely paid that penalty. We deserve it. He absolutely didn't. Again, there's no reason. He just chose to do it. That's grace. Look what it says next. So that in the coming ages, hear this part, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God loves being able to send his only son to die for you. I don't see God in heaven going, man, I wish I didn't have to do this. I see God willingly, joyfully doing it. Christ saying, I joyfully go. He didn't have to, like, twist Jesus' arm and be like, come on, get down there and do this for them. He was like, I'm going. I'm doing this because I love them. because I have these riches that are immeasurable. You can't count all of the grace and the kindness and the love that I have for these people. I'm going, I will do it. And it says that he loved doing it so he could express that grace. You know, like if we never messed up, I think about this sometimes. If there was no sin, if we had never messed up, there's no way for God to like express his grace over us, right? There's nothing to forgive. That will keep your mind turning for a long time, right? Think through some of that. Look that up in scripture. Dig through the Bible and say, God, why? Why would you do that? I'm not going to answer that tonight, but I will tell you this. It expresses who God is, full of grace. We know that he's full of grace because we have a personal experience seeing it. God, I didn't deserve this. And here you go, handing me a gift, salvation and forgiveness. I know God personally and intimately tonight as I stand here because he died for me. Because Jesus loved me this way. I wouldn't know him with that type of intimacy if he hadn't said, Rob, I know you're broken, but come here. I love you. My son's going to die for you. And I'm like, no, your son shouldn't die for me. Seriously, I don't deserve it. And God's like, no, he's doing it because we love you. The intimacy that you get with God, the way it expresses his grace to you that couldn't be done another way. That's where a relationship with God comes from, through his son, Jesus. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. See, this thing is done by believing. Simply looking to God and say, I trust you to do it. I'm going to stop trying myself. I'm going to stop doing all these things to try to earn salvation. And I'm just going to trust that you love me enough to actually do what you say. That's why it's so important to know that God follows through with what he says. He doesn't just say it like those girls on that screen. He actually does it. And then if I know that, then I can trust. I can have that faith that brings me salvation that says, God, you really will follow through and do this thing in me. It says, and this is not your own doing. That's what we've been saying all night. You can't do it. You can't do this yourself. All of a sudden you're like, man, I think I need Jesus. No, it doesn't happen. God reaches out to your heart and says, you need me. He offers you this invitation. So now the ball is in your court. Do you say yes to Jesus or no? Do you say yes and receive eternal life and this forgiveness that's free if you just trust him? Or do you go over here and say, no, I'd rather just keep living in unbelief with no hope, wondering what will happen to me when I die, stuck in my sin. I'd rather stay over here. The choice is yours. Jesus has done the work so the choice could be yours. And he's offering it to you tonight. It's not your own doing. It says it's a gift of God, not a result of works that no one can boast. How many of you guys are trusting in Jesus for salvation tonight? Just raise your hands for me. You don't deserve it. Put your hands down. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We have been blessed by the grace of God when he says, take the riches of my grace. I love that you believe in Jesus. I love that tonight, if you've believed in him, you're saved. You're my brother and sister in Christ, but you don't deserve it. You were given it as a gift by Jesus. Grace, something you don't deserve tonight. How are you taking that gift and using it in your life? Are you grateful? You're the snotty kid at Christmas. It's like, this isn't good enough. Like, I want the truck. I want the car. Eternal life? Or are you looking at it like, I don't deserve this type of gift. This is way too beautiful. This is way too big. This changes everything, and you gave it to me. You don't deserve it. But be grateful he still looks at you with love and gives it. It's through grace that you have been saved. We can't brag about it. And we can't look at other people and go, man, they definitely don't deserve it. Sometimes we're like, man, murderers and adulterers and all these people, liars and thieves, like they're really bad. I haven't done any of that stuff. No, the thing is God died for murderers and thieves and liars and all the worst of the worst. And it's a good thing because we're right on the same level as them. I haven't killed anybody. It doesn't matter. You're still broken just like them. None of us deserve it. None of us deserve to look at others and go, man, have you seen what they did? Instead to say, hey, we're a mess. We don't deserve Jesus, but look at how great he is. Look at the gift he's offering us. People have different struggles than you. Does it make you better or them better? It just means we all need Christ and we need his grace. And so that should help you love other people because you can relate to the same sin, even though it might be a different one, the same brokenness. You don't deserve it. And finally, look at this last one. It says, for we are his workmanship. You're God's masterpiece. Your whole life from creation before you were even born, like when he created you in the womb, to now, to where he's some of you guys who accepted Christ as your savior, you've been baptized, you're living for Jesus. This whole process has been God working in you like his masterpiece. You're his workmanship. You think for one second he forgot about you? You think for one second he walked away and just let you do your own thing and checked up later, was like, man, you're really messing up down there. Let me fix it. No, God has been there the whole time. Every heartache, every time someone stabbed you in the back or talked bad about you or treated you unlovingly, every time you did that to other people, God was there through the whole thing. Not just watching. Remember, he's not just a God of words. He acts. He's directing you. He's working with you. He's showing you his love. He's inviting you into a closer relationship with him every day. He prepared you for those good works, it says. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Here's the awesome part. You don't have to do good works to try to please God anymore. You get to do good works because he prepared them for you. Because he made you ready to do them. Because now he said, hey, this mission you could never have been on with me, I made you ready. You can join now. You can jump on this mission. You can be a part of it with me. You can walk into eternity with me, prepared for these good works. You get to follow Jesus. You don't have to try to do good works to please him. That's the beautiful part about grace. It's freeing. You know, it's this freedom to do instead of this like obligation, like, oh, what if I don't? I'm going to live in fear because I might mess up and God will hate me. No, he won't. He won't. He loves you. No matter what kind of mess you're in, he loves you. But he's preparing the way for you to say, I want to step out of this. I want to leave that dead stuff behind because you made me this way. I'm your masterpiece. Keep stepping forward with Jesus. It says that we should walk in them. Talking about these good works that Jesus prepared for you. He wants you to be a part of his mission. You know, I love that God is more than just words. Sometimes I still have that pity party. You guys probably do too, where you're sitting there and you're like, God, man, I just wish, you know, your wish list. And you're like, things, oh, you know, I was doing that not a couple months ago. I'm sitting in that office right in here. Nobody else was here. It's just me in there having a pity party for myself. All of a sudden, as I'm sitting in there, you know that glass door that's right out there? Bang, bang, bang on the door. I jump up. I'm scared. I'm like, ah, because I'm all alone. You know, someone's going to kill me. I'm just a little guy, you know. Go to the door. I open this door, and this face is right there, sticking in the door. And I recognize the face. For a second, I was like, who is this? Like, I know this person. And all he says to me, this dude looks at me and just kind of stops. He's an adult, but I knew him from when he was younger. He's like, do you remember me? And I'm looking. And all of a sudden, it just clicked. And it wasn't like a good click. It was a scary click because the memory that I had was that same door. It was one Saturday afternoon. I was here for some reason by myself. The same door bangs. I opened that same glass door, and that same dude was standing in the door. But he was a teenager at the time. He was covered in blood. And he fell into the door and literally fell on me, and I had to catch him. That's the memory that I'm like, oh my gosh, that was you. The dude had grown up. His mom he didn't know his dad. His mom remarried. She died, and he was left with his stepdad. His stepdad was a bad dude. He would send him out to go buy drugs for him, bring him back the drugs. He didn't care if he got arrested. He didn't want to get in trouble. So he'd bring back the drugs to his stepdad, and then his stepdad would leave him outside to sleep on the doorstep. When I heard that, once in a while, I'd drive by the house, and sure enough, there he was sleeping outside. I'd bring up coffee, and I'd just try to talk to him. This kid finally one night was like, I'm not doing this anymore, and his dad beat him senseless, stepdad. And that's how he ended up at my door the first time. He had come to Firehouse. He was just out skateboarding and kind of like saw me in the parking lot. I was like, come join us. And so he had started coming for a while before that moment. So the first place he came to was here. There he goes falling in the door. And I was able to get him help, right? So we helped this kid. And here, like, a bunch of years have passed. I'm like an old dude now. And here's this guy. He's like an adult and he's standing there. Like, man, what have you been up to? And I heard the things that God had taken him through in his life. To hear that he loves Jesus, to hear that he's following Jesus, that God had done some really cool things. Like, he was still struggling in a lot of ways, don't get me wrong. But this kid, like, was clinging on to a hope in Christ. And I was just like, man, I was trying not to cry. I didn't want to look like a baby, you know? It's like, but I was so happy. And then he looked at me, and it was like that awkward moment. But at the same time, I was just like, only God could do this. The dude just reaches out, gives me a big hug, and says, thank you for being there for me when I was a kid. It's like, ah! I start crying. God literally just dope slapped me in the back of the head in that moment. It was one of those, like, you idiot. I'm in my office having a pity party, and God's like, ah, no, I'm going to get you. You know, like, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to show you how much I love my children. And he literally brings this kid in front of me as his masterpiece, like God had been with that kid. Here he was as an adult, and God had never walked away. Stepped every step with him, and now he's standing there, like confessing Jesus as his Savior in my doorway. That's the faithfulness of our God. And I needed a reminder that night. I needed to remember that God is doing the same thing in my heart, in my life. He's doing the same thing in you. He hasn't forgotten. You might be sitting in a hard time tonight, and I'm not downplaying that at all. Maybe your heart's broken. Maybe you're in a bad situation. Can I remind you that God loves you? He loves you so much, he'd send his only son to die for you. He puts actions behind his words. He really cares. But what it comes down to is this. It's your choice. Do you say yes and trust in Jesus? Do you receive that love, that kindness and mercy that's overflowing out of his riches on you? Do you let him fix you and make you brand new? Or do you choose to just keep going the way you've been, living in your brokenness and your mess? Maybe you think it's more comfortable, but I guarantee you, when you place your faith in Jesus, he will back up his words with action. And he will not abandon you or forsake you. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second? Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you've been wrestling with that question, that very thing, and God's been saying, hey, here's your choice. I love you so much. He's not going to stop chasing you. Y'all, if he's been chasing you, he's not going to stop. He's going to keep doing it. But maybe tonight you're ready to give in. You're ready to realize, I need to trust him with my whole heart. And tonight, I'm making the choice. I want his forgiveness. I want him to make me brand new. I want to know that type of love. If you've never done that, but tonight you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you're ready to place your trust and faith in him, will you do something for me? You just raise your hand up, just where you're at. Just lift it up so I can see it and pray for you and say, that's me, like I need Jesus. Yeah, I see you, man. I see you in the back. I see you here in the middle. Anybody else? You'd raise your hand up and say, tonight, I'm making the choice. I want to trust in Christ. I want to be saved and forgiven. Just slip your hand up in the air so I can pray for you. You join these two that have raised their hand. Anybody else? Yeah, I see you two up front here. Anybody else? Maybe tonight, you're that Christian that's been kind of doing it on your own, as if like it changes somehow. You forgot it was free. And you haven't been living in his grace. You haven't been living in those works, the good works he prepared for you, but you want to. Say, Rob, pray for me. I want to live in his good works. I want to live free in his grace. Would you pray that I would do that? Would you just raise your hand up? Yeah, I see some hands. Anybody else? That's me. I want to live in his grace. Yeah, I see you guys. I do too. Let's pray together. Father, we need you. We need you to do the work that you promise. God, we know that you're not just words, that you're actions. And so we're asking you to do that tonight with faith in our hearts. For those who raise their hand to be saved, God, I pray that right now that they would trust you with all their heart. That they would ask you right now in this moment, Lord, forgive me of my sin. God, give me eternal life. Fix my mess and make me brand new. Let them know that if they pray that right now, God, that you are never letting them go. That they are saved and guaranteed by your rich kindness. And for those of us who raise our hand and say, God, we want to walk in these works, these good works you prepared for us. God, give us the courage to take that step. To trust that grace is good for us every single day, every single morning when we wake up. It doesn't get old. It doesn't run out. It's always there. Tomorrow morning when we wake up, would you give us a passion in our hearts to chase after you, Jesus, because we know that you've already made the way. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.